that you're going fishing all of the time. Baby going fishing too.
Well, I don't know if you're going fishing all the time, but I'll bet you wish you were going fishing all the time.
Isn't that the story for everybody?
Yeah, and I got Leaf in here who actually does go fishing all the time. Would you say that?
Yeah,
that's not just my perspective.
I'm pretty blessed to fish most of the time.
Yeah. And if you're not fishing, you're actually dealing with fish. Yeah. That's your occupation as
catching
well.
Catching them with my trap or my net or my pole.
Yeah. You know? Well, last time we talked, we were kind of talking about sort of the out of normal sequence, or at least out of timing, how bugs were hatching.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the first damsel hatch up in the lakes and so on. How's that been going?
Oh, man, it's been going gangbusters. It's been really fun. I was over at Big Twin, you know, just spun up there on my lunch break. Uh-huh. It's always one that I like to go to because it's close by.
Right.
And you can usually be sure you're going to see or, you know, get a chance to fool a few fish. And boy, I was sitting there at the old boat launch, and the activity at the I guess it'd be south end of the lake there was just incredible. I couldn't help it. Had to run down. I knew what they were after. And sure enough, I mean, you know, as long as I could sneak up on them, you just kind of lead them by about 2 or 3 feet from the last place you saw them come up, throw that damsel nymph, and most importantly, put floating on that line all the way up to about 3 fingers from the bug. And then that'll just only allow it to drop down about 2 to 3 inches. Because I swear, I've seen them, the moment it drops down 4 or 5 or 6 inches, they turn away. They don't care about it.
Well, you're talking about some fine tuning of things. Like, for one thing, we're usually talking about fly fishing, but floatant on the line. Now, that's a little something you put on the line to keep it up.
Yeah.
And there's floating line, sinking line. Yep. There's all different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But there's something that if you've never fished with artificials, that is really fun to have a fish rise to your lure.
Yeah.
And if you've tied that lure.
Oh, man. Yeah, those are my little tied up.
It's like the perfect thing.
Little damsels. They're really, you know, I've found if you just don't overthink the damsel nymph, you do the best, because you just want to. I like to do just with a bunch of my old green marabou that's left on the table, just a bunch of recycled green material that looks kind of shaggy and messy, but multicolored to where it gives a little contrast.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wad that all together with some dubbing and then a little bit of flashaboo and maybe a little bit of a, I learned from my buddy Jim, a little bit of white calf's tail on top of the tail to make it look like the shuck is kind of stuck to the end of the bug. The shell doesn't want to quite come off.
Uh-huh.
And then the reason that we hang them like that is because that bug is just up there in that little film, that top warm bit of water making its way in towards the cattails of the reeds. And so a lot of time it's a good idea to fish parallel or back to the bank if you're out there floating, because they're going to be coming in there. They want to crawl up on there, dry off, and fly away looking like that little blue dragonfly looking.
Well, you know,
thing.
That brings up another thing that I think is interesting. It just sort of brings out a little bit of entomology knowledge.
Yeah, more than I had before.
Well, you learn a little bit about bugs, how they work. You learn about fish and how they work. And truthfully, fish are kind of voracious. Like you said, you don't need to present exactly perfect-looking insect.
When they're onto something, they're onto it.
Yes, and if you're there when they're feeding on, you know, they're kind of indiscriminate about what they hit. You got to do most things right, but it's not.
Their guard drops a little.
Yeah, and if you tied up something that isn't going to work, you know it.
Oh,
right
off. Because they'll swim right up to you and tell you about it.
Like, nice try.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why I love that full floating line. I love to be, you know, it's lighter. It's funner to throw a lot of the time. But also, everything happening up there on top where you can see it, sight fishing, that's what everybody really likes.
I think so,
if they get a chance at it.
Yeah. So I guess we're encouraging folks to learn how to tie flies, if possible, if you think you would enjoy the sort of the handcraftedness of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely bring something into the whole mix.
And know that it's not always the wrong fly. Sometimes it's just a tiny little adjustment you need to put to that setup.
Yeah, that's true.
Sit back and watch.
Well, clearly, Leaf could give you some instruction. We'll give you the contacts in a minute. But we want to talk about rivers.
Oh, man, everybody does.
And it seems like they've been fluctuating a lot. I mean, we've been getting weather, moisture in various parts of the county coming down. And so what sort of volumes are you seeing? What's it fluctuating between?
Well, last week when we talked, it was about 5,000. And I figured it wasn't going to go too much higher. I said it probably wouldn't even touch 10. We hit about 7. I was hoping that it was actually going to drop and be about 3,000 by that following weekend. And that's when I like to get into it. But then we had those thunderstorms. And so that's what put it back to about 7,000. And as long as we don't get those big gully washing, slow moving thunderstorms, mm-hmm. not only are the people of this valley happier, but yeah, the river is dropping at about 1,000 almost every 24 hours. So mm-hmm. it should, at this rate, again, hopefully, fingers crossed,
yeah,
knocking on some wood, get to about 3,000 this weekend, as long as we don't have any of those big weather events. And like I say, that's when I usually start.
Right. And for folks who are just kind of sort of calculating these numbers, three is kind of a general perfect. Five can be fished, but is a little bit much.
I've caught a couple, you know, cutties up there. And, you know, and when I'm fishing in this high water, I'm targeting back eddies and I'm targeting any of that softer flow. And I'm either using some nymphs or even right now, like we were saying, stimulators. I've got a few on the stimulators because they are looking up. And you know, they tend to look up so much in this river.
Remember a couple of weeks ago, I was saying I was going to stop you and have you explain things. Mm-hmm. Explain stimulators.
Stimulators are just, you know, it can be a name for a variety of bugs, or in this case, it's a certain bug, and it kind of, it's got a dubbed body. It looks kind of like a stonefly's body, but then it just kind of has deer hair for its wing, which is kind of, you know, real atypical looking dry fly, like the caddis has the deer fly or the deer hair up there, just to kind of give it buoyancy and also to give it a good body shape, and looks like wings kind of half standing.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, a real kind of plain and simple bug. You tie a little bit of hackle around the nose of it maybe, but essentially it's just a abdomen color of your choice. Mm-hmm. I'm going with a lot of yellow and green in the beginning of the season, and then kind of orange and red we'll pick up here in a little while. And the thing I really like about them is, say you use a size 6 or 8 yellow or kind of golden stimulator, well, that can look a lot like an adult golden stone. It's not necessarily one bug, because the smaller ones can look like your drakes, can look like, you know, the calabatus and the smaller stoneflies. So it can be used as a general overall. If you're seeing a bug that's a certain size, shape, and color, if you just grab that stimulator that's that same size, shape, and color, you might get a chance at them, unless they're super discerning and picky.
So why are you picking stimulator? Just because it's not a specific insect that you're mimicking?
Yeah, because I'm like, right now I'm going after kind of mimicking the few adult golden stones that are coming off as well. We do have some salmon fly in this river, which is not really known about, but not many there again, so you could do that with a big orange one. And then right now we have calabatus coming off too, so it's just because I can kind of get right to the general body shape and size, and because I've just learned through experience that I kind of start the year. My friend and guide, a fellow guide, Sarah, was asking me about this yesterday, and I kind of gave her the overall, I ought to make a calendar, you know, of each month's bugs, because it starts with stemmies, goes to the hoppers, and then goes kind of back to the smaller bugs when it gets hot.
Well, that's if the month stays true to what it was last. I mean, don't you find this year different than previous years?
Well, I've found since moving back to the Methow in the last like 12 or 13 years that it's just as crazy a weather as ever, times 10. You know, I mean, it was always weird here as a kid, you know, and I remember the droughts in the 80s. But right now, definitely, it seems to just be like somebody's put the pedal to metal on the weird weather that we can have. So yeah, you're gonna be very flexible.
I mean, it's the same bugs, but they're relying on Mother Nature to sort of, you know, pull the trigger on when they go through their metamorphosis and so on, and it can be different.
It's something I'd see with fish too. You know. Lunar and solar cycles have a lot to do with what they're doing, but also they can't ignore the stream temperatures or flows. So there's all these deciding factors, and you never know how they all come into play or when they're going to come into play. It's kind of hard to like prognosticate, like we've been saying here lately. You can kind of get a general idea going, but you've got to be flexible.
Yeah, and probably like a lot of things, you just got to get out there. Just do it.
Yeah, time on the water is irreplaceable. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Yeah. The best people, the people that have the best luck are just out there the most, usually.
So what did you say the level was at today?
We're at about 5,000 last time I checked, and we're dropping real fast. You're not seeing what we'd call the bell curve. When you're having snow melt at night, you'll see it come up and you'll see it go down. You'll see it come up and go down, kind of like a staircase. And we call that the bell in whitewater rafting. And that peak of the bell happens in the middle of the night. The trough happens in the middle of the day. Well, now if you look at the thing, it's just going 45 degrees down or whatever. So it's just
runoff.
Yeah, runoff is done. Now we're just waiting for, or you know,
most. I don't mean snow runoff.
Runoff but influence just... is done. Now we're just waiting for these storms to turn off the mm-hmm. faucet. Yeah.
Well, as I look at the weather, projected weather, it's looking like whatever potential we have for more rainfall mm-hmm. should be tapering off by mm-hmm. the weekend, by Friday,
oh,
actually.
I'm hoping so, man. Yeah. I'm ready. And I know a lot of my friends are itching.
Yeah.
I'm planning on being out there on Saturday, you know, hell or high water. I guess. All right. Well, if anybody needs any more info, always feel free to shoot me a ring, 509-429-7298. Set you up with a trip, give you any tips you need. And, you know, check us out online at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. And we always have our blog up to date, Methow Fishing Adventures. Love to get you out on the water so we can have some fun getting our fish on.
Bet your life, your sweet wife, will catch more fish than you.